This episode is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. To learn more, visit rt11.com. This week on Meat & Three, we're exploring food for the eyes, how the art and culinary worlds collide.
It's incredibly elaborate. It's a feast for the eyes, a banquet dinner with garnished ham, turkey, and an array of accompaniments.
We shot baguettes with like paint dripping off of them with the blue, white, and red from the French flag.
Oh, what did a student tell me? They said, the camera eats first. And it's so true. It's so true.
Tune in to Meat & Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Elena Santigade. My guest today is Crystal DeLuna Bogan of Nashville's Grilled Cheesery, brick and mortar restaurant and food trucks. Crystal, welcome to Cutting the Curd.
I am so excited to be here.
So let's jump into it. You know, I haven't talked to that many people who've run a food truck business, and so I'm super intrigued about that piece of it. And that's how you started originally, right?
Yes, 9 years ago.
Okay.
We started this food truck journey in East Nashville, Tennessee. You know, we had an idea, we ran with it, like a few months later, we just like did it. Like it just felt right. It kind of all flowed. 9 years later, we have three brick and mortar restaurants and we were running two trucks, but when we started opening brick and mortar, we just went down to one truck just for
simplicity's sake.
Yeah, as much as we can with opening two this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what made you start with a food truck?
So starting a food truck for us was a way to test the idea of what we were doing.
Okay.
So there was also a need for food trucks in Nashville.
It's like a scene, right?
Yeah. There wasn't a scene when we started. I'm from Los Angeles originally, so it wasn't anything new for me to see a food truck. But there were literally like none. There were just, you know, stationary taco trucks. We knew it was coming, but Nashville literally didn't even have like codes for food trucks. We kind of were all part of that. Like a small group of us were a part of helping
write the city to figure out how to permit it.
Yeah, they literally only had hot dog vendors, stationary food trucks, and we kind of like a small handful of us kind of came up around the same time, but we were like first out of the gate. Yeah. And 9 years later, we're like Nashville's best food truck still, which is such a compliment. And such a great way to like deliver the cheese to everybody, which is like first and foremost, like my absolute passion.
Right. So that was my next question is why grilled cheese? Like why come at it from that angle? I mean, you were a trained chef with a high pedigree.
I went to culinary school, graduated from Le Cordon Bleu, when I was 19. So right out of high school, I went to culinary school and I worked at a wine country cuisine restaurant called Napa Rose in the Grand California Hotel, which at the time was like the number one restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was in charge of the charcuterie and the cheese boards. Like that was like my first station. So I got also being 19, I couldn't drink wine in this wine country, you know, restaurant. And so I wanted to dive in, and cheese is just such like an endless pit of information, and the cows and the cheese, like I didn't know there was such a vast, endless kind of, and I got privy to the best cheeses.
Yeah.
And so the passion kind of started there. And then grilled cheese, because I was always in charge of, like, you're in charge of family meal, which is that meal that you kind of eat at the end of the shift with all of your...
With the whole crew.
Yeah, your coworkers. And so because I was the newbie, like, a lot of times you have to make family meal. And so I would make grilled cheese because I would have the extra scraps from the cheese.
Because you had been...
Yeah.
Had your eye on the
And then the I started,
station.
Like, you know, kind of playing around. So I had... That was like the comfort food. That was like what brought us all together. So I always had this fondness for grilled cheese, but then I was working in fine dining.
Yeah.
So I kind of like snuffed my nose at starting a food truck for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming to Nashville, it's like we wanted to serve comfort food. We knew that that was something that we wanted to do, but what could we serve that changed but stayed the same? It was like a riddle. Like,
yeah.
What can be the same all the time, but...
But also different.
Changed, So grilled cheese was a blank canvas for us, and it still is. And it's been a blank canvas for us to have collaborations with people. We make our own cheese. We do so much with cheese.
What cheeses are you making?
So we started making our own American cheese because we couldn't find a non-processed, like, glutinous...
Right.
Even though we, like, there's a time and a place for that cheese. Like there's a time and place for that, but what we're trying to do is focus on like wholesome ingredients and and that
real cheese.
Real cheese, yeah. So we collaborated with a local creamery in East Tennessee to make quote unquote like real American cheese. And it's just a triple cream Colby.
Yeah.
So we wanted something really like mild and creamy
That's gonna have that like meltability
And we have more adventurous cheeses, but that's kind of like the best seller for us. Because people know it and they want to, you know, we want them to try our version of it. So, so you know, we've had our hands in the curd and literally cut the curd.
I love it.
Yeah. Yes. We don't do it all the time, but we're in there kind of
tasting with
them. You gotta go down to like the roots and like your cows. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our whole thing is sustainability and where our food comes from and this wholesome comfort food.
How did you find the cheesemaker to work with?
So that's the great thing about Tennessee and Middle Tennessee, specifically Kentucky. All those areas have really amazing dairy farms. And so it's not hard to find these amazing cheesemakers. Because we started these relationships really early on in the business. We've always used local creameries.
That's great.
At the Girl Cheesery. So people come to us. We go to them. I sought out a team of people. Like, I feel like they're part of our growth. Everybody is kind of just, like, arm in arm, like, growing with us. It's pretty awesome.
That's amazing. Did you have ties to Nashville? Like, why Nashville?
Yeah. So my husband, who's my business partner and co-founder. His family's in the music industry. And so he grew up here.
Okay.
He was born in Los Angeles, but grew up here. And so all of his family was here. So we wanted to change from LA and moved here. And
here being Nashville.
Sorry.
That's
I'm
okay.
not in Nashville
we,
right
we
now.
We are sitting in Brooklyn.
We're sitting in Brooklyn.
But it can be otherworldly here.
Heart. Yeah.
Here in the Heritage Studio,
in
you can really be
studio.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
We are sitting in a container, so
yeah,
technically we can
container.
Be shipped.
Yeah. So, yeah, we moved to Nashville to give it a chance. You know, I had never lived outside of California, so we just fell in love with it. People were just so generously kind, and I don't think we could have started the business the way we did. And the market's oversaturated anyway in Los Angeles, so people aren't as kind to help make something grow when there's already so much of it. So we still have these amazing relationships with these other local businesses because it's like we all needed something and we kind of all just support each other to help make it happen.
Right. Was it always a goal to do a brick and mortar restaurant?
Never. No, I didn't want a brick and mortar restaurant.
Why not?
Because the food truck was a way for us to have freedom. Like
you could close it whenever you want.
Yeah, this business was like a culmination of like everything I wanted in my career. I wanted freedom. I wanted to be able to, you know, work these hours that were we did put a lot of hours in, but eventually I wanted to be able to surround myself with people that I wanted to be around, be able to be face-to-face with my customers, be making food hands-on. Like, these were all the things I wanted. So we kind of just, I took all the things I loved about the restaurant industry and put it into the food. I think that's why chefs kind of lean towards food trucks because
it's close
to your customer. Yeah. And so having a restaurant meant like, I was back in the trenches of that. So It took us many years to open a restaurant. Like, we just started opening restaurants 3 years ago.
Wow.
And so it took us 6 years to kind of like, all right, I get it. We're going to do it. And we, you know, we built a great team over that time. So that was the missing component, finding a great team to like build and help us grow. And now, I'm finding a new balance in life in general because you can't be everywhere. So to trust.
Yeah. So is the, you know, like the stuff that you didn't love about brick and mortar restaurants and like that kind of a setting, how has your perception changed? Are you running the restaurant differently in any significant way?
There's a zero tolerance for the BS, like zero tolerance for
no throwing plates.
None of that. There's kindness. There's quality. There's, I mean, you can't even look at someone sideways, especially a woman, and not get fired. I mean, we are so strict on these policies.
Yeah.
We want it to be a place where people want to work. There are not late nights. There are, the hours are, you know, we are open from 11 to 9, so you're not home in the wee hours of the morning, you know, 2 a.m. You're just, it's a more ideal, it's an open kitchen, so you're face to face with our customers, so you see the results of what's happening. I love when our staff gets praise, you know, even if they didn't specifically make something, it's like, take it in, like, we're a team. So, we're creating something as a team that's bigger than me and my husband now, which is kind of beautiful in its own way.
Totally. Well, speaking of your husband, that's my, I have other questions about working with your spouse.
It's terrible. It's terrible. It's impossible. Don't do it.
had you, aside from maybe your wedding, I think, I always think of that as being like the first project that married couples actually do together sometimes. I don't know about your wedding, but that's how it felt for me.
Planning an event.
Had you collaborated on anything together before?
And we're both like bosses. So it's like two cooks in the kitchen, you know, kind of a thing. But I think it took us like trusting each other and knowing our place and like what we did in the business. And since I just had a baby. So since Luna was born, we don't work like in the same room really anymore. And I think that's the secret. That helps. People are like, what's the secret? I'm like, don't work together. Like, but always come together in like a non-judgmental space where you can have like meetings and it's very much like the respect of a partner. And we try not to like bring it home, but it's so hard because you know, things always happen at 2 a.m. for some reason, or like 3 a.m. you know, like the alarm goes off at one of the shops, and you know,
or the walk-in goes down.
It's always something. So he's taken a lot of that on, the operations, which is kind of ideal, but I mean, that's not realistic, so I don't even want to promote that as like, you know, that's just because being a mom is like more than a full-time job.
Yes, I think it sounds fine for him to do operations for a while.
He's taking care of our restaurant kids, and I'm taking care of the actual kid. Yeah.
Amazing. Nice balance there.
Yeah.
What would you, like, how, was there an early situation where you were navigating that balance together that like was maybe like a line in the sand or a tipping point in one direction or the other?
Oh my God. I have like literally trauma, like my stomach hurts. Yeah. I mean, we were like in the food truck together, like in the deep, you know, heat of the southern summer, like with lines, crazy lines. I mean, we've always been blessed with customers, like we're so lucky that people like wait in line for our food, but like having like, you know, a 40 person deep line and then just being like just little nitpicking at each other, like it's just funny. You know, like it's funny to think of now because it's just like,
did you ever have storm out of the truck?
I mean, you can't. You're stuck in it. You're in a box. You're literally like our door open to the line of people.
Oh, yeah.
So you're in there. You're stuck, and it's
you had to just deal.
So hot. Yeah. No, it's all the things. And I'm like, the fact that we're still married is like a testament to like how you get through things. Yeah. Mm. Which is just funny. It's like, you want to test a marriage, open a business, any business. Huh. You know, it's like, don't do it in the beginning.
On that note, it's actually time for a quick break, so we'll be back in a moment with more from Crystal DeLuna Bogan of the Grilled Cheesery.
This episode is brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. From the moment Route 11 dropped their first batch of chips back in the early days of 1992, they understood their destiny as a high-quality producer. Instead of succumbing to the frenzy of mass production, they took advantage of their small size and made chipping a personal art form. The payoff was immediate, an incredible potato chip. With a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. In this world of uncertainty that we live in, Route 11 Potato Chips believe comfort food can be just that. Know where your food comes from. To learn more, visit rt11.com.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm Elena Santigade, and I'm here with Crystal DeLuna Bogan of Nashville's Grilled Cheesery. Okay, so... That was very fun to hear about how to navigate a marriage and
probably
a business.
Not the best, most encouraging.
You know what? I think realism is very powerful. It's nice to know a little bit what you get into. Any listeners out there thinking of embarking on a business with your spouse?
Yeah.
Be ready.
Yeah, be ready. Yeah, just I feel like just know what you're getting into and like establish your roles in the very beginning.
That's
but it's hard in a small business. You kind of do everything in the beginning, right? So
right.
I think it's easier when, I mean, obviously I always did the food stuff and he's the reason why we make money. So he always made those big business decisions,
right.
You know?
Okay.
So that's.
That's a nice divide right
there. That's a nice divide.
Like,
but there's all this little stuff in the middle, like just little stuff that you wouldn't even think about.
I'm sure. And that's the tricky stuff.
Like I'm thinking of the funniest things that we used to bicker about. I'm like, who cares? But like, it's like, it mattered so much in the moment.
And you're so stressed. You're working long hours at the
time. Oh yeah. And you're both stressed. So it's nice to come home to somebody who's like,
nobody
was making
you.
Us
yeah.
dinner. Like, you know, we're coming home to like, you
An
know,
empty
building
fridge.
Out restaurants, which is such a financial pit, you know, but you know, it's, we're on the up now because all of these restaurants have opened now. Mm-hmm. So that was such a huge undertaking this year to have all this construction happen.
Yeah. So how did you have financing? How did you make that happen?
So, we've been open for 9 years. So we've kind of built, we've built a business and we've luckily been in the black since 6 months into running our business because we started so small and we only, you know, kind of did what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've saved up a nest and then we partnered for the restaurants. We partnered with a local restaurant group called Fresh Hospitality who helps us with the real estate findings and stuff because that's such a world that is beyond.
It's a huge piece.
What anybody really knows. I mean, that there's so much legality to it and your location is everything. And we have what I feel is the best locations. We are in like the heart of downtown Franklin in this quaint little area. East Nashville, we couldn't have been at a more
East Nashville is like the hot spot
corner. In Hillsborough Village, our first location is literally like the place where when we first moved here, we couldn't even serve there because we kept getting kicked out of the area. And so I'm like, we're coming back with a restaurant. You know,
That's literally amazing.
Could not serve there because they didn't let us. Like, we've gotten, like, shooed out of that area so many times.
So
it was like,
funny.
We will come back. And we
so
did.
That's your spiteful location. You chose this location.
Triumphant location.
I love that. Oh, well, okay, let's pivot a little bit, and I want to ask more about the cheese itself.
Okay, yes, let's get down
to
the...
So, I have a million questions. How do you choose the different... How many different cheeses are on the menu at any given time?
Okay.
How do you choose them? How much does the menu change?
So when we started opening the restaurants, on the food truck, we would have something called a melt of the moment, and that would change, like, every week.
Okay.
Because I was making it, it was whatever was, like, at the farmer's market, what was local, what was, it was like hyper local. Like it was, you know, when we ran out, we ran out. When we opened the restaurants, it was, we learned really quickly that doing that consistency was everything. So doing this changing specials just was a really big burden on our prep team. Yeah, it's hard to scale. And what we wanted the most was consistency and for somebody to come in and taste something that, you know, they had 6 months ago, maybe on a trip, and then they craved it. We wanted this something that tasted the same every time. And that's really hard to do when you don't have like factories and you're not opening frozen bags.
Right.
So we decided to nix the specials, which was like heartbreaking for me, but I got it. Like our menu grew anyways, so I kind of won there. But we have two different tomato soups. Oh. One's vegan and like has a gremolata on it, which is like herby and roasty. And then we have like an old fashioned tomato soup that's kind of laced with country ham stock. Wow. That classic creamy Campbell's soup, you know. And so with that said, I wanted everything to go together. So it's like you can make a meal of things that kind of lent itself. So I had to keep it down to 6 cheeses.
Okay.
And I kind of just went with the higher fat cheeses, the things that, the ones that melted really well. Mm-hmm. And then the accompaniments that would go well with each cheese.
Okay.
And then we have specialty melts. So you kind of wanted to use, you know, I wanted to utilize them. We used to have more cheeses on the menu, but there's like being open for this long, we knew it didn't sell.
Right.
For some reason, Gouda doesn't sell.
Bizarre.
I love smoked Gouda.
It's such a popular cheese, too.
It never sold. Huh. So there are certain things where I'm like, okay, I'll stop fighting.
That's so surprising.
Yeah, and we incorporate cheese in other interesting ways, too. Like we'll put our smoked cheddar in a pimento cheese spread.
Ooh, yum.
And we'll put really good blue cheese into a blue cheese aioli. Mm-hmm. So when you spread it on, it like melts. Like, so we'll take things and fuse cheese, and then we do a Parmigiano Reggiano crust on one of ours. Oh my God. Parm crust is like everything. So they execute that beautifully at the restaurant. So things that are, you know, executed well, we get all of our cheese in 40-pound blocks.
Okay.
And we slice it by hand. That's
a lot of production.
Because it's still, like, the farm doesn't have a slicer. So we're slicing cheese and...
Well, I was going to ask where you get your cheese.
So we get most of our cheese from Sweetwater Valley Farms in East Tennessee.
Okay.
We've used a lot of other local farms, but as you know, cheese is really expensive because of the process of everything goes through. And a lot of times it's lost when you melt it the way, you know, that it needs to be melted.
Right.
So Sweetwater Valley Farms is our main purveyor of all of our cheese, and we work really closely with them to make sure that the quality and consistency is exactly what we need.
Right.
And they're a local family farm that we love supporting.
That's amazing.
And so that with... Long answer to your
That's great.
Question.
No.
It's like, you know, we take the most popular cheeses that to kind of go well. So when people make their own grilled cheese, they can layer Swiss and cheddars and, you know, add a blue cheese aioli or a Parmesan crust, kind of infuse cheese in a way that they can't do at home. Because if you can do it at home, you know, why you're coming to us. And we want to kind of give you like
something special,
a level, you know, a elevated version of what you're doing without it being pretentious or fancy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So when you were first trying everything out in the food truck, would you, you know, were there cheeses that you thought would be huge hits aside from the Gouda sounds like one.
Smoked Gouda.
Was there something that you thought would actually be kind of not popular that ended up taking off?
It's hard because we always had like not a huge menu. So I feel like a lot of things sold. The one that I still like long for that like didn't sell was this Italian one because I love provolone.
Yeah, provolone.
We called it the Ciao Bella, but it was like C-H-O-W, like play on chow.
I like it.
And so it had mortadella and salami and peppercinis and like this really yummy yellow tart mustard went so well with the sharp provolone.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put fontina on it too and it was so good. I'm like,
sounds
and on
great.
An Italian sourdough, right?
Yeah.
It didn't sell.
What?
I mean, we sold some, but not relative enough to like have all those meats.
Right.
Things go, you know, things go bad and you lose. And as a small business, you can't lose on cheese goes bad too. So you can't really, you know, once you start shredding it and expose it to the bacteria in the air, it starts to obviously, you know, mold and stuff. So you can't keep that stuff
right.
around.
Mm-hmm.
And being on a food truck, too, you have limited space. So
right. So if something's not working, quickly, it can't just sit
yeah.
there.
Yeah. And then we opened the restaurant. We were playing around with the idea, and we're like, okay, but we want to have a turkey. And then, you know, you just think people, we want people to come often.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, people just don't eat enough mortadella.
Yes, and mortadella is my number one.
Like a t-shirt, like people don't eat enough mortadella.
It's a good shirt. And I would buy
so,
one.
Yeah, right. And so we save those kind of awesome melts that are a little something that maybe wouldn't sell in the restaurant for right. like chef events or uh-huh. charity events. Like I'll
then
push it on.
Like, yeah. You get to like have your creative moment yeah. where you can have the.
And I love a good theme, you know? Yeah. So like, you know, I just kind of pair things with like whatever feels mm-hmm. right too. Or
so how often are you doing events like that? Like how, is there a big community in Nashville of like
yeah.
opportunities where you're out and about yeah. beyond your locations?
Chef dinners and uh-huh. yeah. And I always get the cheese course of whatever. I'm making mac, 1 week I made mac and cheese at 3 different chef events
wow.
for like hundreds and hundreds of people.
Wow.
Like they don't give me anything else but the cheese. Like
you're
it's kind of a joke.
Cheese
yeah.
person.
We're like mac and cheese. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm always given the cheese whatever,
mm-hmm.
like
right.
melting the cheese, give it to me. So, yeah, there are a lot of events,
mm-hmm.
That chefs kind of take courses or take part in for local charities
mm-hmm.
or what have you. And, there's a really tight chef community in Nashville, mm. which I love being a part of.
Has that grown over time? Was it
yeah.
was it big when you were starting?
No,
or, huh?
no. I was worried I didn't have a place to work. Coming from LA, I was like, where am I going to work? I want to still keep my chops up. And, you know, I was a line cook, and I found a great restaurant that I worked at. But there were like one handful of restaurants
right.
that you could work at. Now there's just so many options. So
mm-hmm.
many amazing chefs have come to Nashville, or maybe were from Nashville and moved away and have moved back.
Mm-hmm.
We're so lucky to have, and like a lot of female chefs, like female
yeah.
chefs are really well respected.
Well, that's great.
In Nashville, which is huh. great that we don't have to like fight for that spot. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's refreshing.
Totally. So I just had a funny question pop into my head, which is, do you ever pair grilled cheeses with music?
Oh, my God.
Being in
yes,
Nashville.
Of course. Yes.
Okay, so what's your favorite? I guess we could do
I
genre.
I mean, we serve, or, I mean, food trucks serve at all music festivals,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. So what? Which grilled cheese do you think pairs the best with classic country?
Oh, my God. Well, our pimento mac and cheese,
mm.
I would say.
Yeah.
Because pimento cheese is such a southern thing.
Yes.
I would say we do like a pimento mac and cheese. Like we actually put macaroni noodles in it.
The sandwich.
Yeah, but we do it for texture. It's
okay.
not for like a weird brick of
right.
glutinous.
Right, of
you
like
know?
Chewy something.
It's for texture and it really works.
Huh.
Yeah, it really
Very
works.
Cool.
And it's a certain type of noodle that we use that like is definitely like it helps carry. And pimento cheese is fat on fat on fat.
Right.
So it, without the noodle, it would just like
kind of falls
break.
Apart. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah,
it would literally like separate from itself.
Right.
So the noodle actually helps
huh.
as a binder.
That's
it's like
so cool.
TMI for people eating the sandwich, but it's like
yeah, but it's really interesting.
It's a function.
That it,
yeah.
yeah. Did you now? Here's a question: did you add the noodle because you needed the binder and kind of thought of it that way, or did you start with the idea of mac and cheese?
No, I started with the idea of mac and cheese, and I actually made a classic mac and cheese with a bechamel
mm-hmm.
sauce, and you know. Chilled it and cut it into, you know, little squares.
Right.
And it just, like, lacked flavor because
mm.
when you add
the
high-fat cheese, that fat coats your palate, right?
Right?
So you need something to, like, the whole thing with us, to me, a sandwich is a perfect bite
mm-hmm.
if you're doing it right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're creating a bite that has salty, you know, acid. It
right.
has the textures of creamy, I mean, you can...
Little crunch.
Crunch,
right.
yeah. It really is, to me, one of... I mean, it's like my favorite sandwich, obviously.
Yeah, I would hope it is.
Like the crunchy texture of the bread from the butter, like
mm-hmm.
butter distribution. Like, there's so many functions that you need to, like,
mm-hmm.
execute well, you know, on a grilled cheese sandwich, in my opinion. So I would say that the pimento cheese in general is
mm-hmm.
like a classic southern. I mean, like every restaurant has a grilled pimento
yeah.
cheese on the menu.
Delicious.
But we take it to the next level and do the do the mac and cheese, and then we do a Benton's bacon bit inside, yes. And then a fresh tomato to help.
Wow.
With that's the acid. Yeah, and then we do a piece of buttermilk cheddar. Wow. Which is from that East Tennessee creamery.
Yeah.
Which is so good.
Wow.
Buttermilk cheddar. I need to send you some buttermilk cheddar.
It sounds like, so good.
It's a pretty good, like, on everything cheese.
So here's a question for you. On the bread, are you putting butter or are you a mayonnaise? Are you in the mayonnaise camp?
We started on the mayonnaise, the 50-50 with mayonnaise in the truck because of the temperature. So we started in the winter, so it was freezing, so our butter was always seizing up.
Too hot
or too cold. So I literally whipped butter with mayo just for function. And obviously mayo is oil, so it helped the smoking temperature. Right. It helped it not burn. Mm-hmm. And the food truck, you just have this like hot griddle.
Right.
Now we have temperature control. So like butter just has a better flavor. So we're using butter.
Got it.
But I've made sandwiches with just mayo and they come out so good too.
They really do.
I mean, not in the restaurant, but like for events.
At home or
like
even,
a Duke's mayo, kind of more Southern take on it. Mm-hmm. And it comes out so well. I highly recommend it.
So 9 years in, is grilled cheese still like a top food for you?
I just made it for myself the other night. Like I still make it at home. Like it's such an easy go-to.
Yeah, it really is.
Like it really is. I mean, my daughter had her first grilled cheese a few weeks ago.
Oh, wow. That's a big moment.
It was like a shining. Yeah, like everybody was watching her. It was like a lot of pressure.
I hope you took a photo.
Oh, I did. It's on her Instagram page.
Okay, good.
She's got a full, you know, cheese blog already. Wow. She loves it.
Yeah.
She loves it.
What was the grilled cheese?
So I just did a classic American cheese and I just did a little bit of cheese and with avocado because she loves that's her first food. She loved avocado. Mm-hmm. She loves avocado. So she did it. She loved it. I know she loves it when she like has anxiety, like she can't eat it fast enough and she's just like a little chipmunk stuffing her cheeks, which is like the best. I'm like my new hobby is just watching toddlers eat. Like it's the most fun to watch them eat. Like they're figuring it out.
As a chef, it must be very satisfying because they're paying so much attention to it. Plus they're having big reactions.
And like the first time you've eaten something, like what an amazing
moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, especially if you're exposed to a lot as a kid, you don't have a lot of memories of the first time you ate something. So it's fun to discover those things, like even later in life, where you're like, what is this glorious food that I've never had?
Yeah, and that's how I felt when I was working at my first restaurant, because I had only had like yellow cheese. Mm. Like I didn't even know what the cheese was called. Like we didn't grow up in a house.
Just
like,
had cheese.
Actually, it was like low fat, everything. My dad thought low fat was like the way. That was like the trend
the 80s,
when I was at
90s,
low fat mozzarella or whatever. You know, we didn't really eat a lot of, like, he definitely didn't buy cheese that was expensive.
Right.
And so when I was in culinary school and started realizing, like, oh, there's like
different
styles and like milks. I mean, it blew my mind. Wow. Then when I was in charge of like, you know, charcuterie and like cheese plates, it was just like this art that you made little chutneys and jams and I mean, it was just like, to me, it was everything. And
that's
so I still take that approach when I'm building a sandwich. It's like, we literally are building it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Layers. I love that. This is like the ode to the sandwich.
I love it. Yeah. And cheese is the main ingredient. Yeah.
Yeah. Cheese is the headliner.
Yeah, the headliner in this musical
in this
grilled cheese.
Nashville-based grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Wow, well, I can't believe it, but we're actually at the end of our episode.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much for joining me today,
Thank
Crystal.
Thank you. This was so great.
And
I can't wait for you to come
to
Nashville and
try. I need to go to Nashville and have a grilled cheese now.
Yeah, you really do.
Like right now.
Right now. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, wow. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd. Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you.
Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.